UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Are you kidding me? Does it come in way too hot? Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? I send process back to go grab you as you're doing the best radio probably you're going to do all day in the back room, in the bullpen, with the lads and lasses in the sales pit. And yes, I'm vamping as you get your headphones ready. Right. Now, I sent Process back there to go grab you.
Yeah, he did, and I told him I would come with my
And what'd you say?
You can go spit in your head because I didn't want to swear. You know I don't swear that much.
When Process delivered the message, it was not of he R-rated it for you.
Well, that was not nice. You're going to quote me. I insist on being quoted directly. I would never say that to myself.
How about you insist on talking into the microphone?
Why don't you mind your own business?
As he takes a sip of Tyler Mountain Water coffee.
I needed coffee because I can't have food today because there's a million things to get to. So calm the blank down, okay? We're going to get to them all. We got 3 hours here, all right? Calm down. But last night we did our Thanksgiving, which for those of you who say, oh, so he had a little turkey. Yeah, okay. That's like saying Will Chamberlain slept with a few girls, all right? It's accurate, but grossly understated. It was the Italian Thanksgiving, which was comprised of
how many courses?
Appetizers, which we had before you go actually to the table. You have those in the living room, and you sit around and you banter with delicious appetizers.
Your boy in the GF provided.
Then
those.
You go to the dining room table, and you have antipasto, which was two different types of cheeses and cold cuts and peppers and artichoke hearts and hearts of palm
olives
and
the hearts of palm are really good. I don't usually eat
those. There you go. So you have that. That's probably for most normal people a meal, and that's like the end of the layup line when the game starts. Then you come back with soup, a delicious tomato squash soup that
refreshing.
Yeah, it was very
low
good.
Low key filled me up though.
It was very
the second
very
bowl
good.
Was a mistake.
Well, you never get seconds. That was I can't believe that you're a veteran at this. What the hell were you thinking?
Oh, I was pathetic.
That was ridiculous.
My food management, my load awful. Management was terrible.
Then you follow that up with lasagna, homemade lasagna, which was very good. Then we had the main dish, which was of course Thanksgiving turkey and ham. And mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and green bean casserole and broccoli and I'm forgetting cranberry sauce. I seem to be forgetting something. And asparagus. Yeah. So that was the actual.
Why the hell did mom throw out the buttered green beans? Because she didn't cook them. I think low key she was being passive aggressive.
Yeah, I think so. Because that was delicious, by the way.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Then we followed that up. You take about a 50-minute break, and you walk around, and you lament about how full you are, and then you rally for not one, as LeBron would say, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five desserts. We had pumpkin roll, apple pie, tiramisu, chocolate cake, and another one. I can't remember what the other one was.
Not two, not three,
definitely another one.
Not four, not five.
Yeah. It was five, LeBron.
Pumpkin roll, tiramisu. There were four different types
chocolate
of cheesecake.
Cake. Cheese, that's it, the cheesecake. That was one of them. Okay, so five. So, okay,
by
so
the way, I thought we were bringing in some of that leftover stuff.
Then you follow that up with nuts and fruit. We had some...
And coffee.
Yeah, very, very nice. And then you just claim you'll never eat again. So, hope you're not having lunch, but in the interest of full disclosure, I spent many times in the little boys' room in the last 12 hours or so, and I have not eaten anything today, and my guess is I won't. It's like a food hangover. So, right. Coffee is it. So, that's it. But what a day. Fantastic day. I hope your Thanksgiving was half as blessed as ours was, because good people and great food, and we had a good time and did much laughing.
Yes, so there good you times. Go.
All right, now let's talk about the business at hand. First of all, I want to share this, though. Again, I'm working a pyramid. I'm starting with the least significant stuff. If it's Monday.
People love that.
I'm not going to spend long.
We don't just bury the lead. We put it in another continent.
It's like the pyramid of comedy. But I just happened to pick up the paper today and notice, today's Monday, there's a good number of people out there who are pissed it's Monday. That's the reality of Monday. Just remember this. You could be a Knicks fan. The Knicks are 4-16. You know what that projects out to for the season? 66. They won 17 games last year, and everybody said that was the worst year in franchise history. They can't possibly be that bad. And they said, hold my beer. Yes, we can. It's hard to suck that badly. There are some levels of suckiness that are amazing. Like Rutgers football, how could you try? You'd have to try to be that bad, and yet they are. So if you feel bad on Monday, always remember this. Unless there's two people listening, and I'm fairly certain they aren't, there's only two people this doesn't apply to. Somebody's got it better than you. Somebody's got it worse than you. Somewhere in the world is some guy who's got it better than anybody. That's unbelievable. He's got
his name's Jamie.
Everything, and there's nobody's got anything better. And there's one poor SOB who's got it worse than everybody. I shudder to think about what that guy's life is.
Probably process.
Everybody else is somewhere in the middle. So there you go. So if you want to make yourself feel better by knowing there's some people worse off than you, knock yourself out. They just went nuts in the 93.9 studio with good reason. Louisville's ranked number one. I was afraid they were going to get hurt in there. They were jumping around and yelling so much. It's a wonderful thing. It is early in the year. They don't give trophies, but it is significant. Let's start with another simple thing. Congratulations to Jeff Walls, who beats the number one team in the country and makes a firm announcement that once again, they will be in contention for a Final Four spot. And who knows, maybe the first national championship. If you dare to dream it, he has put together an unbelievable run. They beat the number one team in the nation. Congratulations. He is just very quietly going about his business and every year cranking out nationally caliber ranked championship caliber teams, and they're doing it again. Great crowds. It's a great success story. Congratulations to him and the women at U of L. The football game is this. It is amazing to me, and I understand when I came in ready to talk about this, I realized there are going to be two groups of people to whom I'm speaking, and you cannot speak to both of them simultaneously. You cannot. It's as if one group, or either group for that matter, they're wearing headgear that filters whatever you say into they only hearing how they want to perceive the game. And that means if you are one of the people, and we got texts from these people last week. I want it to be as ugly as possible. That's how I view a rivalry. Well, okay. And then there are other people who look at it as a big picture thing and say, well, let's take a look at how good one team is, how good the other team is, who the characters involved, and they assess it that way. I don't have much interest. It's America. Your forefathers fought for you to see it however you want to. That's what freedom is. But I don't do the first group very well because I don't ever see it that way. I never have, and I can't. I never will. It's not because what a wonderful guy. It just makes no sense to me. Okay, and the perfect example of that, and I run the risk, you can't navigate through this. I'm going to piss somebody off today because you can't navigate through all of this without inadvertently stepping on a toe. It's like going down the aisle in modern arenas or theaters where they give you 6 inches to pass and the people don't get out of their seat. They just stand up and you say, well, I'll do the best I can, but I hope you got hard toe shoes on because...
Do you give them the ass or the crotch?
I just walk through as best I can. So it's kind
so
of the
you
same,
shimmy, you sweat.
Kind of the same deal here that you're going to step on some toes in this mix. Okay, the L's down thing is very odd to me. I do understand the people who say, and Stoops said it himself, if you're going to get upset about that in a rivalry, right, it is nowhere near as egregious as taking your helmet off and trying to basically kill a guy on the other team, making a play that's so dirty you could end a guy's career. Nothing like that. or doing something that goes beyond just, you know, making fun of a particular gesture, saying something that's personal and racially tinged or sexually tinged or something that's not just politically incorrect. It's a thing that you look at and you go, ooh, you can't say that. That's just wrong. I get all that, okay? So having said that, though, the part I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, is that it?
No. I know what you think. You know what I thought it was.
It's not Norelco. Not going to tell everybody that.
Yes,
okay.
Truth.
Okay. All right.
Cigarette smoking thing.
All right. We don't want to worry about that. Sorry. There's a. Never mind. I'm not going to get into that.
Scared the crap out of me. Well, but I know.
You know exactly. Yes. God bless you. You know exactly what I was talking about. I just misread it. Okay. I don't get it, and I'll tell you why I don't get it. I don't get it for a lot of reasons. One. To me, and this again, this goes back to that first group. It's not so much about feeling good that you win. It's about wanting to make sure the other guy's miserable. And I never really gave a spit about what the other guy. I don't mean it arrogantly. I just meant it's not my concern. It's your business. How well you handle victory or defeat is your business. I know that we win a big important game. We're going to be exultant. We're going to be joyous. We're going to celebrate. That's what it's about. And so I don't get that whole mindset. It's not about me being happy. It's about I want you to be miserable. All right. Like I said, there's that group of people. If I said, here's your choice. Your team can be 10-20, but your rival can be 5-25, or you can go to the Final Four, but your rival's going to win the national championship. They would take the first group, which I don't understand. I want to have a Final Four season. And whoever wins the championship, somebody's going to win it. If it's not us, so would it? I don't care. But so that's that group. So all they want is the other guy to be miserable. So somehow they perceive that as, well, that'll make them miserable. And I guess maybe it's my defense mechanism. I don't get miserable about it. I don't care about it. So maybe because it's my way of simply looking at it and saying, well, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of making me miserable, that doesn't affect me at all. So, but the part that I find strange, this is the part I find very, very strange, is if you're at UK and your main mindset is we are so much bigger, you're the little brother, you're insignificant, why would you have anything to do with anything that's associated with that other program to celebrate your victory? You know, I'll give you an example from radio. When I first got into radio, they said the smaller radio station, the lower ranked radio station, will always try and lure the bigger station into some sort of a verbal war because it's going to raise the perception of the smaller program up to the other one. People are going to look at it and say, oh, wow, you know, WXYZ is as good as WABC because they're bantering with them back and forth. And so that was actually a marketing strategy for a lot of smaller stations when there were a lot more aggressive market wars going on in big cities like New York and Chicago. So you try and lure them into it because what it does is if you can get them to take the bait and answer you, you've just put yourself on the same plane they have. So if you really believe that you're that much bigger than U of L, I mean, the answer would be, I don't really know who we played today. I know it was a rival, but we won. We kicked the crap out of them. I don't even, they got a symbol. I don't know what they're, they have some sort of a symbol. That, to me, would be much more, if you really want to position yourself as the bigger, more mighty and powerful team, that's how I would approach it. I mean, but they're so obsessed, not just with winning, but with, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, listen, nobody, I've said this on the program before, Lynn Bowden's extraordinary. You don't have to be a UK fan to just, I mean, when he played in weeks that, you know, Louisville wasn't involved in the game and I was watching him, I'll be honest with you, I'm rooting for the guy because he's just so compelling to watch. Why you would feel in that post game that you have to say, L's down forever, I don't get it. That's all I'm saying. I don't understand it. Celebrate your win and, you know, you kind of, if you're really, your mindset is we're so much better than you, don't, why would you, that's my point. The people think, oh, you just want to be nice because you're on some, because you're U of L guy. No, I'm just saying I don't get it. It's the same radio station mindset. You don't acknowledge anything they do because it puts them on a plane with you. So if you really believe in your heart that you're the big brother, you're the big boy, why do you do that? I don't get it. Other than, gee, I hope this makes them miserable. I do that sometimes. Somebody will send me a text that's obviously not tinged with trying to communicate or make a point. They just want to insult me. And I always feel like I should write back and say, oh, boy, I feel like obligated. They went through the trouble of trying to be just rude and you know, a pissant. I feel like I should, you know, grant them some, tell them, yeah, oh, gosh, you really hurt my feelings, because I feel like, you know, we try and please the listener. So it's the same thing, I guess. But that's just to listen to a little radio show. This is, you know, this is a rivalry game where, you know, it was an enormous, gigantic victory. Why would you get, I just don't get it. So I guess I'll never get it other than that mindset. And I understand that there's a good segment of the population. It's not about winning. It's about wanting the other guy to be miserable. And so if that makes you happy, then I guess then L's down is a big thing. But to me, it struck me as very, very, it was again, maybe you're a UK fan. See, I can't look at it that way. So maybe when he said that, all of Big Blue Nation was just, you know, standing in their chairs in their living rooms and applauding the television. But I like when the guys that represent your program do it I'll give you an example, and I know it's at the NFL level. Do you watch the end of games? I half think players on the other team are going to come up and ask Lamar for autographs. Honest to God. I swear. I think if they weren't embarrassed, they'd say, listen, before we go, could you sign this? I mean, because that's how he comes across. He's never out there smack talking, putting you down. You're a pro. I'm a pro. Trying to win. Trying to go about our business. We're fortunate enough right now. We're really on a nice little roll. But, you know, when you make the other guy it's like Paul Rogers' argument, the chant of overrated. You're not ridiculing the other team, you're ridiculing yourself. Instead of saying, boy, we beat a really good team, look how good we are, you're telling everybody, oh, they're no good. Well, all right, well, then this win is not that special, is it? So there's a whole bunch of stuff in rivalries I guess I don't get. So to that group, I'm no offense, this probably won't interest you much because I don't see the game that way, so I'm not going to be able to speak to that part of it. I'm going to speak to the analytical part of it about what went on. And what went on was, in point of fact, I'm not doing 20/20 hindsight, but watching the Syracuse game and the way they ran the football, I thought to myself, they're going to have a hell of a time with Kentucky because Kentucky's running it on everybody. And the simple fact, you know, I've said this on the show before, you can think it's a kind of a, oh, God, you're really trying to be such a nice guy. I'm not. I'm just being honest. I don't imagine they're listening. I really don't. They're busy. They got class. They got practice. But if you're on the defensive side for Louisville, I don't want to look like I'm just taking those kids and gleefully flinging them under the bus. But the fact of the matter is, this defense was so bad last year. So literally unbelievably bad. You'd watch games and say,
how bad was it?
It's impossible to perceive how poor they were. And people looking at it and saying, all right, well, you know, oh, now they got good coaching. Listen, I coached. Coaching makes a difference. And they're better than they were. But it's basically the same cast of characters. They don't have a whole lot of new people because he got there late and they didn't recruit a lot of guys. So how much better did you think they were going to get? And that's why, okay, you want to say I'm putting a bow tie on a pig? Knock yourself out. But this is exactly how I see it. You know, it was a terribly disappointing day. They got absolutely steamrolled. There's no question about that. To me, it speaks to now a lot of things make sense. Remember early in the year when Satterfield said, oh, yeah, he likes to win track meets and stuff. You know why he was saying that? Because in his heart of hearts, he knew, boy, this defense really is not good. We are really not good defensively. We are going to have a hell of a time. And he was smart enough to know that, and he was planting his seed. Yep, guys, we better go out and get 50, so maybe we can win 50-45 because we ain't stopping a whole lot of folks. That's the reality. And fans don't want to hear that. Well, your coaches don't say that. Yes, they do, especially when you're in your first year. Well, he should have gone and got more players. All right, well, he got the job late. You know, that what he did is what he did. And all I know is, that to me yesterday underscored why what he did all year. If you think this is spinning it, like I said, knock yourself out. This is exactly how I feel about it. To me, how they looked yesterday underscores what a tremendous job he actually did during the year, because basically they did it now in hindsight with smoke and mirrors for much of the season. And he was the only guy to know it because he's in practice every day. And what you find out is the same thing. Remember they used to say this about Kentucky all the time? Now it's the same thing. The SEC season wears you down, and it does, and it did. And at the end of the year, Kentucky would really struggle. Louisville went through the same thing. They're very thin defensively, and they absolutely, at the end of the year, are worn down. And Kentucky is, I'm amazed that they're doing it. I didn't think you could do that, throw two passes and gain 500 yards. So, I mean, we'll come to Kentucky's side of it in just a minute. It's a remarkable thing they did. But to me, people, like I heard Locke tweet out, I wonder if this is going to take some of the shine off Satterfield. All right, again, fine, because I know there's that people. You lost to Kentucky, now I got to listen to Tom at the water cooler, that jackass. Whatever, okay, that's your business. I'm looking at it analytically. This guy took over a team that was a train wreck, an absolute unadulterated train wreck, took basically the same personnel, Offensively, they have been good all year. Defensively, he managed to fool the public for about 2.5 months. They fooled everybody for 2.5 months. Well, we're going to get a timely stop, and we're going to win 60-50. And then they got exposed against a great, great player and a very innovative offense.
No!
They just absolutely steamrolled him. And you know, when he fake punted on his own 35, I was like, this dude doesn't think this defense is stopping anybody today. So that's the way it is. And you know what? It's in his first year. And I am not in any way going to look back differently at the group of people, the fans, the texters, me, my cohorts here, who predicted. I predicted 4 wins and people thought I was nuts. Oh, I don't, you know, and Lockster said, well, the data changed. Bullspit. What happened is you looked at the whole year, he brought the same roster back, and they won more games than even the most wildly optimistic people thought. They're going to have a winning season, no matter what happens in the bowl game. That's amazing to me. And they may, who knows, they may win the bowl game. I think they're going to have our time because I think whoever they play in the bowl. God, if you're a Catholic, you should go make a novena. They don't get Navy, who will run the ball for 9,000 yards against them. So, I mean, that's the reality of it. They're going to a bowl game. I hope they play well. I hope they, I mean, they're not going to face a Bowden, who's an extraordinary player. So, I hope they come. If you put a bowl win at the end of this, that would be a gigantic cherry on the Sunday. But the fact of the matter is they've already got the Sunday. That's the reality. And I'm sorry if I'm not going to, because I got to worry about Tom at the water cooler who's going to give me crap because I didn't give him crap. So, I mean, that's just not how I'm not. Like I said, you're in that first group. Enjoy your conversations. I can't add much to that party. As for Kentucky, I'm sorry. It amplifies what I said earlier, that the people, he's not a colorful guy. He's not getting up at the press conference and doing magic tricks and giving you colorful talk. He's a plugger. That's what he is. Mark Stoops is a plugger, but he's done a terrific job there. And the fact of the matter is they are much deeper than they were years ago to they can make it to the end of the season and win some games late. And now I'm not going to do revisionist history. Louisville had some games they looked really good this year, and they just steamrolled them. And they did it with a guy that wasn't even a quarterback at the beginning of the year. If you don't want to give him credit for that, then you're basically nuts. I mean, that I will tell you. I don't know what I can say about that. I mean, well, it's his job. He didn't recruit 9 quarterbacks. You know what the guy did? The guy looked at the hand he was dealt and said, oh, this is not a really good hand, but well, maybe I can draw to a straight here if I move this here and discard that and bump up. And the next thing you know, he's got a team that's got 7 wins and is going to a bowl game and is going to put ridiculous offensive numbers up. That's what astounds me, is that you can't put those, you can't gain 500 yards doing it the way he's doing it, but they are. And Eddie Grant deserves credit too. People, he's not, you know, creative enough. He's, I don't know what the hell people are looking for, but the
guy hates him so much.
I know. It's well, that's exactly what popped into my head when we talked about it. But he's not. They're UK fans. Same thing. He's just, oh, there's another good call. Why? What do you want the guy to do? He ran an entire game and threw 2 passes, and one was a trick play. And the guy gained enough yards to go to Frankfurt. I mean, what do you want out of the guy? It's remarkable. They were deep. And, you know, so he's recruited. Has he recruited sexy guys? And did he have NFL guys like last year? No. But he's put numbers together where that was the argument. You can't do revisionist history. You talked about this guy not having enough guys in the trenches in years past. They'd get worn down. You know, what's the matter? And now they got bodies and capable bodies and a deep roster. And, you know, they are in a situation where they put together a good year with a lot of adversity. They've got they've got 7 wins, and they got a chance for an 8-win season with everything that went on. 8 wins anywhere in the SEC is a pretty good season. 8 wins, given all the crap they went through, pretty remarkable. So tip your hat to them. And the two teams are going to have winning seasons, and for very different reasons. It's a noteworthy season. Is it one of the best in history? No, but I've had so much fun following this Louisville team. And if you're a UK fan, I mean, watching Bowden is remarkable. I mean, it's just he's just amazing, to be honest with you. So enjoy that. You know, I know it's like it's not figure skating. They're not giving out style points. Well, we didn't throw the ball enough. We just, you know, it's just I can't help you with that. I'm dealing with reality. The reality is they did not have a deep roster a few years ago. They got criticized for it. He reinforced his roster. He's got depth. He dealt with a whole crap ton of injuries, and most notably at the quarterback spot, basically, and put a season together where they're going to go to a bowl game, and they got a chance for 8 wins. I don't know. It's pretty good, I think. It's not going to make it the best season in history, but it's a pretty good year. And
you said plugger. Is that what you meant? Yeah. Like he plugged some holes?
No, he's a plugger. That's a term they used to use. And he's not doing something flamboyant. He's you know, what do the football coaches always say? Keep chopping wood. He's that guy.
He's
always
a grinder.
His team is reflective
plumber,
of that.
If you will.
He's going to keep chopping wood. And they just kept chopping wood and reinvented themselves. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty damn good year. But again, if you want to put it in big perspective, frankly, he had a lot more to lose, even though the way Louisville lost was embarrassing. He had a lot more to lose, I think, in some ways. Granted, he had a legitimate excuse in terms of the injuries to a quarterback they were counting on. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, he's been there. How many years has Stoops been there now? How many years is it? Do you know? I don't even know.
I want to say it's 8 years.
Okay, say it then. It's America. Say whatever the hell you want. So say 8 years. And he's then dealing with a guy who hadn't even been here a calendar year yet. So, yeah, I mean, listen, at the beginning of the year, U of L fans were looking at this game and thinking, they went through the whole gamut of emotions. Beginning of the year, they were thinking, oh, God, I just hope we don't get so embarrassed in this game. Then they got all caught up in it because they had injuries and they struggled and U of L was rolling. They were like, we're going to beat them. And then they wound up getting embarrassed and then they were doubly pissed off because they got their hopes up. But the reality is the guy has built a solid program there.
Seven.
This is his seventh year. Yeah, so that, you know, it's a pretty good run. And he's done a good job. He's done a good job. But, you know, if you're asking Locke to answer your question, does it take the bloom off the thing for me for Satterfield? Absolutely not. It says to me they had a bad day, an embarrassing day. The defense is not good. Sorry, boys, if you're listening, but you are not a good unit. And you were awful last year. You got sporadically better this year, and it's a long season. And I think they're worn down. And they just absolutely got steamrolled. They got run over. Oh, well, that's a shame. But it's still, I look at the work in its entirety. Where's my magazine? Want to do the picks again?
I don't think it's there.
Experts here. 2 wins, 3 wins, 3 wins. I picked 4. People like, you white crazy. Oh, you're a homer, you honk. And they got 7. So, please, put it in perspective. That's the reality of it. That's what you're looking at there. Basketball. This is interesting. Michigan is ranked 4th. Proving to you why the ranking system, it's so ironic. Rankings in basketball mean less than football, and yet they rank them in ways that make sense. Michigan deserves to be ranked there. They're beating everybody, they're lining every powerhouse in the country up and knocking them on their ass. Put them 4th, based on what they did. Football, if this were football, the powers that be would have said, "Did we before the year, we didn't anoint them as one of the teams that could be a championship contender. What were they? They were unranked. Let's sneak them in at 18, maybe. Well, and then if they could win the next 15 games in a row,
by double digits,
we'll get them in the top 10. Because
by double digits.
That's how it works. And then we'll find reasons why you can't.
Eye test.
The eye test was no good. Their schedule has been awful. The pregame meal they had in the non-conference was just terrible. They had French fries. You can't have French fries. Any team's eating
those
French
noodles were not al dente.
They were overcooked. I mean, screw that. It's ridiculous. They are where they deserve to be. And the great thing is nobody's getting eliminated tomorrow. But we should have a great game and a great crowd. And congratulations to Louisville. And
our man Crean, by the way. Let me get your thoughts on this quick. But it's in the same realm. Louisville now number 1, mm-hmm. Michigan now number 4.
Correct.
Is it too late to kind of rebrand tomorrow's matchup a little bit? Crean tweeted this out. He's like, "Hey, ESPN, you got 1 versus 4 tomorrow.
What do you want? And what does he want to rebrand it?"
Well, no, I mean the shine is still on Duke and Michigan State, and it's like, hey, you know, you got another little matchup here, 2013 national championship
that
rematch, top 5. You know, why ain't this marquee?
He wants ESPN to be pushing it more, you mean?
Well, just, I mean, he said, like, you don't have to change the tip-off time or anything like that. But just, yeah, I mean, is it ridiculous? If you're at the mothership more than some of us. I mean, how hard is it to change imaging?
Well, I think it's very hard. I think that's part of the problem. I think that you're looking at a situation where, you know, if you're a basketball fan, you're pretty jazzed up for this. The game will get great ratings. It's in Louisville, which is one of the great TV markets for college sports anyway. And, you know, you'll be fired up for this game. It'll be a great crowd, I assume. And it'll have, but I mean, for TV, I mean, I don't, it's still December. And I don't know, it's on the big stick, I assume, right? It's on ESPN, right? So I don't know what else you want them to do, break into, like, you know, Who Wants to Sleep with My Sister, the reality show that's on ABC or something, or, you know, I think they're pretty jazzed up about it, but I don't know what else they would be doing for it.
It is on ESPN.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is what
tipping
it is.
Tipping at 7:30.
So, but it's going to be a great game. It's terrific. Nobody will be eliminated. I will say this for Louisville, by the way. I interviewed Chris after the game, and before we came on, I don't think I'm talking out of school. Before I turned the machine on to tape it, he came out. He's, you know, very good after games on the road. He knows it's part of the drill. Different than at home. When it's a home game, he comes out to the press table, and Paul and I both talk on the road because everybody's main concern on the road is getting out of there as fast as you can. So they let me go in the locker room, and I try and tape it and then bring it back to Paul. And while they're doing the stuff that you do when you're about to leave, you got to load all the equipment and everybody, we can play the interview and then we can get the heck out of there. So he comes out, and he really looked down. And I said, why the long face? You just won by 17. He said, yeah, I know. I don't think we played very well. And he said, in the end, and he put all the freshmen in with 3 minutes to go, and they looked bad. But the fact of the matter is that's a hard thing to do. Usually, you know, if you do that, what a great play that was, by the way. Wow. I didn't see that live last night. The Houston play where they did like a triple reverse and then an option and a pitch back to Watson for the touchdown.
I didn't see that either. We were busy gorging ourselves.
What a hell of a play.
Yeah,
that was
impressive.
Yeah, but you missed. You only got the end of it.
Well, that was impressive enough.
They'd already had like three handoffs before that. Pretty NFL bringing out some plays. How about the Dolphins who were playing for nothing?
Devontae Parker
bringing out trick plays.
Having a career day. I think he had two touchdowns.
That was a pretty interesting play right there. But anyway, so if you put freshmen in that situation, usually you put them out with some experienced players. And he did it early. There were 3 minutes to go, and they were up like 19 or whatever it was. But even Paul and I looked at each other, and I was like, seems a little early for that. I mean, you know, make a three, get a steal, make a three, you have somebody going to Reggie Miller kind of thing, and before you know it, it's single digits and it's still 2 minutes to go. Unlikely, but he shows great confidence in the kids, which is great. Players pick up on that, but maybe give him a chance to play with some of the experienced guys. So they all went in together, and it looked like a group of guys that, you know, they sat on the bench for 37 minutes, and then they came in, and it was a clusterbuck for a little bit there. So I think he felt bad about that. And I think he felt embarrassed because he's the one that made the decision. But I mean, I get it in a way that he wanted to give them, he wanted the game to have a little bit of meaning. He didn't want it to be pure garbage time. And so he put them in, but it was tough on that situation. But beyond that, the thing that's weird is they got off to the great start. They took a lead. And then I know exactly what he means. They were shooting, I don't remember, 55%, 56%, and they were holding Western to 30%. And you don't expect – basketball doesn't work that way. You don't get to that level, and then it stays up at that level, and you just go and, you know, you dominate. You know, the joke they used to use for the New York Yankees back in the heydays of the 30s and 40s, Colonel Rupert, who was the owner of the team, he said a great Yankee win for him would be to take a 10-0 lead in the first inning and then slowly pull away. You know, that's okay. That's what fans sometimes, basketball don't work that way. So you don't expect it's going to keep going like that. But the way that they let the game, their shooting percentage just gradually, every time out, we get the stat sheet. They bring in the stat sheet at the under 16, under 12, under 8. The shooting percentage going down, 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 down. And the reason was their execution was not good. They had a couple. It was just a couple of a bunch of different things. It was like a variety show of a couple of things. It wasn't like one thing over and over again. Couple of four shots, not a lot, but a couple. Some really bad pass attempts. I mean, you know, trying to throw the ball over people, big guys that have a 6-7 inch height advantage over the passer, trying to throw over the top. Yeah, that's just a bad decision. They had some fast break opportunities they didn't convert. And then defensively, they made a couple of mistakes. And they it seems like it was a little of this, a little of that, little of this, but that's a definition of when you're playing well. If you're playing well and there's one thing that for some reason you don't do, oh, we're just missing open shots, or my God, the fast break just hasn't been as effective. But the other stuff is there, you still nobody plays perfectly. But it was the fact that nothing was efficient for a long time. It was just they showed character. They never let the Western really get. I think then they get the single digits once. I think, and then Louisville opened it up. I think again. I'm pretty sure they did. That was impressive. Their stick-to-itiveness is impressive. And the same guy's doing some things. I mean, Dwayne Sutton, I said, I'm unabashedly going to get a Dwayne Sutton fan club button and sit at the press table. I don't even care if people know, because if you're a coach and you don't love the way he plays, you should turn your coaching card in and go sell Tupperware, because it's just a guy that you've got to love everything about the way he plays the game and goes about his business and carries himself. And boy, he is just... he is, I mean, as great as Jordan is. I had a great visit, by the way, with Jordan's dad. Jordan's dad's a junior college coach up in New York, whose team is in the ranking of the top 25. Alex, yeah. And we had a great visit. Nice, nice guy. And fiery. He's got his team, they press you like the minute you get off the bus. It's total chaos. He's got all these kids from New York City, and they just run hog-ass wild. I said, I'd love to get to see him play a game one time, but he's a nice guy, very nice man. And we had a nice visit after the game. He said the same thing. He said, ooh, all those freshmen with 3 minutes to go. I said, that's two coaches, ex-coach are talking. I said, that's how coaches look at it. Like, ooh, that's a lot of time. But they just were not, I mean, so it's not that's not meant to be smug. Like, well, they weren't even that great and they won by 17. It's just the truth. And if they have a lapse like that for any length of time against Michigan, I don't think they'll let them get away with it. So they're going to have to elevate it a bit. That's all I would say about that. So I don't think they were great. I think it's a great start. I think it's a terrific win. They've played two games away from the Yum Center, one a true road game. And this one was, well, it's not a road game. I mean, there's way more Western fans there than if you played them at home. I mean, it was at least 50-50. Western was well represented there. And so, you know, it was not exactly a home court advantage. So they hung in there together, and they won convincingly, but they did not play a great game. They really didn't. But again, maybe that's a good tribute to them, that you can not play a great game, not at home, and still win by 17 against a team that came into the game with only one loss. So, but we'll see. We'll see if they can bounce back tomorrow and get back in vogue. When they don't move the ball, this is what I will say. Even Darius, who's really among the best at it, Jordan is good too. When they stop moving the ball, they are an absolutely average team. When they start to break down to guys playing a one-on-one, they're not poor, they're just not good. They're just average. They'll score sometimes, they won't score sometimes. The flow of the game changes. They're just not good. So when I see a guy and he's taking four dribbles, I say, oh, we're in trouble here. They may score, but it's not the flow we're looking for. So, but when they move the ball, when they spread the floor and move the ball, and when they stay committed to their defensive responsibilities, I mean, it's a different look. I think about that sometimes for Jordan. My guess is, you know, his dad coached him on the national team, and that's what he's raised by. That may be why it took him so much longer to adjust defensively, because this is absolutely opposite of everything that I'm sure Alex does and Rick did. I mean, you know, they don't press at all. I mean, Jordan, I'm sure his instinct is to just go run and double team, scream like a banshee, you know, go and try and run after people. And
trap a guy.
Trap guy, trap another guy, go trap this guy, you trap here, I'll go there. Hey, we got three guys on the ball, who cares? Let's go strip it from him, let's just go. You know, I don't want to make it sound like it's that disorganized, but you know what I mean. It's a different mindset here, man. Everybody has got to be every possession locked in. So, they're good. They are very good and deserving of number one. And let me let you in on a little secret. Coaches who say they don't care are full of spit. Of course they care. They're among the most competitive guys in the country. They're smart enough to know you don't get any trophies for this, and they're not going to belabor it. I mean, that's true. But are you kidding to say you're the number one, you know, Hell, we got an award for being a best male radio show in this city, and we were pretty jazzed up about it. That's not the number one team in the entire country. So I'm fairly certain that if they're being honest, of course they're excited about it, and they should be. They should be, and the fans should be. And especially, again, you can't take the moment in time out of the big picture, the timeline, the continuum of what, that moment occurred. This is a team that's now number one in the country, less than 2 years after a guy took the job and everybody said, it's a train wreck. I mean, they're going to be 5 years before they can recruit well, before they're back on the national scene. They're just going to have to hope they can keep their head above water and then gradually get it back. Tournament first year, last year, this year, number one in the country already. That says something. It says, did they give you trophies for that? No, but is it insignificant? Of course it's not. It's a big deal. It's definitely a big deal. So it's a great day. It is something they should be proud of. I don't know. If they may not win tomorrow, and if they don't, stay number one will not be particularly long, I guess. But they're there. They did it, and they deserved it, and they're off to a great start, and they have the potential to. You know, I see coaches sometimes. Rick used to do this, and I know he knows the game, so believe me, I'm not questioning that, but you know, there was some RP theater, I thought, sometimes when they played really well and he'd focus on some really, really minuscule, obscure thing. And that's fine. That's what coaches are supposed to do. If you do 20 things well and three things are not right, their job is to say, well, that's great. We got to keep doing those 20. But these three, this is what we did wrong. We got to do this better. We got to do this better. But he would spend the whole post game talking about those three things and ignore like the other 20 things didn't even happen. And you'd say, come on. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. So I get that coaches will play theater with their team to try and keep them humble or hardworking, but I don't think Chris was doing that. I don't think he was putting on a front trying to act so he can keep them humble. I think there was legitimate reason to say, you know, we weren't as good as we can be in Nashville. I don't think that's being hypercritical. That, if anything, it's saying that's how good they are. They want to beat a good team by 17. It was 17. Wasn't that the final margin? I thought it was 17. But they didn't even play great, which they didn't. But, you know, they're a good team, and they've got a lot of reason for optimism. There's no question. Tomorrow night's going to be a great night. You know what else is going to be a great day? Is the day on Wednesday, because we're cramming the van. This year, all of the hosts are going to be lathered up with mayonnaise, just so we can all I'm sorry, what? Oh, I missed. That's not what we're doing? They were being sarcastic. Oh, I thought we really were doing that. I thought we were going to cram like we were. Anyway, Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water is matching up to $5,000 in listener donations to make the holidays better. Now this makes more sense. I didn't understand how us all cramming into a van with mayonnaise would make life better for Louisville fans.
I told my management to clarify there will be zero mayonnaise on any of the hosts. Or any condiments or anything like that. Just toys, just canned goods, just clothing.
This makes way, way more sense. Yeah. Listener donations and Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water matching it up to $5,000 is going to make the holidays much better for some Louisville families. So join us Wednesday, that's in caps, as we'll be broadcasting live from the Kroger in Stony Brook. Taking donations, the GoFundMe page will be live that day, and we'll have a phone number set up as well. How cool is that? So help us fill up the Sternberg van and truck rental that day with items that will go directly to the Salvation Army and the Wayside Christian Mission, or donate your cash that will be used to buy toys, clothes, and other necessities. I have to be honest with you, this is, everybody comes together for this year, and it's been a very gratifying thing to see. That thing is absolutely cram-oled. The people's response in the community, it's a very giving community. And especially at the holidays, the people are just falling all over themselves to help. And I hope you'll be one of those people. Not that you have to fall down, but that you'll be coming to us with some gifts or toys or a cash donation, whatever. And it literally does make a difference. It's wonderful to see. So I'm proud to be a small little cog in this. And Drew is the main driving force. Congratulations to him for putting that part of it together, and to Focus and Sternberg and everybody at the corporate level for jumping behind it, and most of all to you guys, because without you, we just have an empty van there and hosts covered in mayonnaise. We don't want that. We want things to make life better for families in the Louisville
Again,
area.
Again, no hosts.
No, the
covered
mayonnaise.
In condiments.
I got across right, that right. way.
Yeah. That wasn't that printed on there. I don't know why you
Yeah, no,
you,
right.
you wrote it. I
was just trying to, you know, kind of.
You got some bad intel.
I was trying to really just give it a little hype, make it, but I didn't realize. Anyway, so come out there Wednesday and see us, and I think you'll be able to really appreciate what a great initiative is, and help us make a difference for some families that could use the help here in Louisville, and we'll be proud to do that. A lot more to talk about.
Chris Mack presser coming up about 1:15.
1:15.
Now, it's scheduled for 1:15, but typically there's a player beforehand.
So we might take the player depending on who it is.
Yeah. Well, what? Why?
Why would we take the player?
Well,
because some of the players are not
boring.
Good talkers.
Quinn Slezinski's boring, isn't he?
No, he's not.
I'm just kidding. It was the first player I could think of. There's certain words and sounds that are more comedic. The K sound, I think, is typically a funnier sound. Seriously, I think there's a science to that.
The what sound?
The K sound.
Is funnier than what?
Then it's a sound that, like, if you're going for something comedic, go with a K sound.
Yet banana is one of the and waffle are two of the funniest words in the language. Neither of them have a cuss sound.
I'm just saying it's a rule, but it's not like not a staple. It's a guideline. There you go. Sorry.
Come on, who doesn't want to see Diener all oiled up and glistening? See, that's why I thought. But anyway,
it's a good point.
It's not up to
you
me.
Might get some extra toys.
Not up to me. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. ESPN 680-1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.